75 years ago this month, the Japanese Navy launched an air raid on Dutch Harbor and shortly afterward invaded two islands at the tail end of the Aleutian Chain. In the aftermath, nearly 900 people were hastily evacuated from their villages, shipped away in small boats to live in abysmal camp conditions in southeast Alaska until the end of the war. Last week, a group of military officials, foreign dignitaries, and survivors gathered at the Fort Richardson National Cemetery to remember the events. Alaska Public Media's Zachariah Hughes was there.
Patchy clouds hang over a grassy lawn, uniformly dotted with white grave markers. A brass band plays, and soldiers in dress uniforms practice rifle drills. A few dozen folding chairs face a podium, while a flag the size of a garage door flaps at half-mast.
Please be seated.
Retired Air Force Colonel Sue Ellen Novak is the master of ceremonies for an hour-long event honoring everyone affected during the Aleutian campaign.
Just a short version of World War II in Alaska.
Novak is also the director of the state's Veterans Museum and paints a vivid picture of just how dramatically the state was transformed by the conflict.
Alaska was a military backwater with obsolete aircraft, no Navy to speak of, and few troops until just after Pearl Harbor.
The bombing of Dutch Harbor and on Alaska changed that. The attack prompted a massive military buildup and modernization effort, including construction of the Alcan Highway to send Lend-Lease equipment to the Soviet Union, as well as the formation of the Alaska Territorial Guard. On hand at the ceremony was Masatoshi Sato of Japan's consular office in Anchorage, who says relations between his country and Alaska are vastly improved in the decades since the war.
While we continue to look towards the future, it is important to remember the past, to avoid repeating the mistakes that cost the lives of so many.
Among those mistakes was the U.S. government's internment of more than 100,000 citizens, the majority of them Japanese Americans on the West Coast, including Alaska. Not far from this cemetery, Fort Richardson briefly had a small camp that held men of Japanese, German, and Italian ancestry. And though they were evacuated under the pretense of safety, nearly 1,000 Unangan people from the Aleutian Islands were held in derelict camps scattered across southeast. Marie Matsuno Nash is with the Japanese American Citizens League and has ties to both the Aleutians and Japan. Her family was put in an internment camp out of state, which is where she was born.
The Alaskans who were interned in those camps, as well as the Aleuts who were sent to camps in southeastern Alaska, share a common history of forced removal from their homes and placed in locations foreign to them.
One of those evacuees is 91-year-old George Gordioff. He was 16 the night of the Japanese attack.
I left on Alaska the night before the bombing.
He'd been ferrying supplies to a nearby island and watched Japanese planes streaming overhead, many of them still smoking from bullet strikes from anti-aircraft guns. In the days after, Gordioff was evacuated, packed onto a boat.
It was scary. Well, everything was scary. We didn't know where they were taking us, and took us to Wrangell.
There were hundreds of people, more than the tiny government school they were brought to could accommodate. Eventually, Gordioff and others slept in army tents put out on the lawn. He worked as a cook.
The thing was, there was nothing to cook. School was closed. They had a lot of canned vegetables and stuff like that, but no meats or nothing that, you know, you can, except bacon. We had two big boxes of bacon, so we had bacon for everything.
Gordioff eventually joined the army, but didn't return to Unalaska after the war. As the ceremony ends, National Guardsmen fire a salute, remembrance wreaths are laid, and Marie Matsuno Nash, the woman born in an internment camp, hands folded paper cranes to every member of the audience as a sign of peace. In Anchorage, I'm Zachariah Hughes.